Hey everyone, my name is Jasmine Bicknell, and thanks for checking out this message today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Connect to 97000. There, we can answer your questions and even help pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we are doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website and click the Give tab at the top of the page, or you can text the amount you want to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you're blessed by today's message.
So over the last few weeks, every single January, at the River Church, we take time to talk about what is the church. And just a more blunt question is, what is this that we're doing? I mean, honestly, like, what are we doing this morning? We've come, we have a couple songs, there's a prayer, we read the Bible. What is this? What is the church? And the reason that we take every single January to preach on this and to teach on this, because we see Satan, who is the manipulator and the liar, and we see what he's doing with the truth of the church. There's just this little bending of the truth to get people to not really understand what really is the church. Why do we gather together? Why do we have events? And why do we come on Wednesday night? Or why do we not come on Wednesday night? What are these Bibles? What is all of this? And so I see this great deception out there that is hurting us. It's hurting people thinking, nope, this is the church, but we miss what the church is. So there's some dangerous statements out there said, like, people will go, no, don't you know, I'm the church. Now, I believe this to be a dangerous line. Why? Because if Jahmyr Gibbs says, I'm the Lions, and I know what you're thinking, really? You bring up the Lions already? I'm still hurting. I'm scarred. But if Jahmyr Gibbs would say, I'm the Lions, we'd go, wait a minute, you're missing what, that's not the complete Lions. You're a part of the Lions, and yes, but you're missing the full part of what it is. And so when people go, well, I'm the church, they're missing what the Bible tells us the full church is. There'll be some misconceptions. I had a friend tell me, listen, I'm just going to start, we're going to start doing home church, or we're just going to stay at home. And the truth is, he's missing church. He's missing what church is. And I know some of you out there going, wait a minute, Pastor, are you telling me if I live in an igloo in Antarctica, I'm not having church in my home? Well, first off, anybody live in an igloo? Okay, all right. What we're not doing is making some legalistic rules. That's not the point. But the point is, don't miss what the full church is. Satan, who loves to manipulate the truth of God and loves to turn it a little bit, people are hearing this and they're missing what the full church is. So they'll think, I can stay home and experience and be a part of and the unity and the teaching and the leading of the church. They're missing it. So what is the church? I don't want us to miss it. And you may be sitting here and you may be like, Pastor, I've been in church a long time, longer than you've been alive. But I don't want us to forget it or not know it. See, for me, there's many things in the scripture that I know, but I just miss sometimes. Last week, I was in my car driving down I-75, actually a week and a half ago, driving down I-75. And I don't know if you, sometimes in my car, I like praying. It's a good time to turn everything off. And so just having some prayer time. And in my growth community, I have a men's growth community on Wednesday mornings. We're working to memorize Ephesians chapter 4. So when I memorize scripture, I love to pray that. And so the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4 talks about living a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. So I am driving down I-75, and I drive at a pretty good pace, right? Like, right? Cruise is set at 77. That's just my norm, right? So I'm driving down 75, and I begin to pray, Lord, I pray that I'll walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which I've been called. And then verse 2 says, in a manner of gentleness and humility and patience. And as I'm driving in the middle of the prayer, I look in my rearview mirror and there is a guy flying up behind me. And in the middle of my prayer, I look up and go, you better get over, you moron. And then I go back to my prayer about being gentle and kind and patient. You don't make that stuff up. I know what the passage says. I know the truth. But sometimes you miss it. We can't miss the church because it is so important. It is not a man-made thing. Church is given to us by the Lord. And I love the church. Listen, you can call me a churchaholic. I love it. This morning in Waterford, we have an 8 o'clock gathering. I went because I just like to. This was a morning I could have actually slept in. I really could have. After that football game, it would have been wonderful. But I love the church. I love the calling. I love the gathering together. I love seeing people. I love singing together and praying together. I love growing in the Lord. I so enjoy the church. The amazing calling of the church. And I know what you may be thinking, but Pastor, it's your calling. Of course you love the church. Well, since you brought up calling, I want you to see in Ephesians 4:1, in the book of Ephesians that we're studying, he's speaking to believers and he says, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you. It doesn't say urge pastors. It says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. See, this month, as we walk through the purpose of the church, as we talk about centered around the gospel of Jesus, we're to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. We're to gather together in the worship and the growing of God's word. And then we're to grow in God's word. We say these words often, reach, gather, and grow. This is not the River Church coming up with something clever, right? This is not an organizational calling that we go, the River Church, we're really smart. We came up with these three words. We didn't come up with anything. We went to the Word of God that says this is what the church looks like. Reaching people with the gospel, gathering the saints together, and growing in the Lord. It's what the Bible calls us to do. And it's not an organizational calling. It's a personal calling for each and every one of us. And in the book of Ephesians that we've been studying, as Paul writes to the church, and I love this book because this book is different than the other letters that Paul writes, right? Paul, filled with the Spirit, leading him to give us the word of God. But Ephesians is different. See, the other letters, there's names, and Paul gives this, I'm going to come here, and then we're going to do this. Remember this guy, and this guy's a false prophet. But Ephesians is much more vague. It's like it could be written right to us right now. So this morning, going to God's word, we're going to look at how does God call the church to grow? What does true growth look like? There's lots of books out there that say church growth. There's lots of things. If you do this and do this and do this, you'll grow. But what is amazing is God tells us about what a growing church looks like. And so we're going to go to his word and see what he says. So Ephesians chapter number 4, let's read a little bit. We'll start in let's start at verse 11. The Bible says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow. We are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. In Ephesians, Paul, as he's writing in the first three chapters, he gives the doctrine of salvation. He says, this is what it means to truly be saved, that we're lost, that we're broken, that we're dead in our sins, but because of Jesus. Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again. If we'll put our faith in him, not in our works, but in what Christ did, we will be saved, we'll be transformed. That's the first three chapters of Ephesians. And then the last three chapters of Ephesians, what he does is he says, now I'm going to move from doctrine to duty. I'm going to move from this is what a believer truly is, this is what a believer looks like. And really, he says, this is what the church looks like. This is how the church lives. This is what's important to the church. This is what shouldn't be important to the church. And at the very beginning of duty, he talks about the church being unified, the church being coming together, and he says, this is what a healthy church is going to look like. So I'm going to work backwards here. So go with me again, look a little bit more focused on verse 15 and 16. Because at the end of this, I think this is really the conclusion of, here's what a healthy, growing church looks like. He says this, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way unto him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, that it builds itself in love. Healthy church, what does it look like? Well, it says that they speak the truth. That a healthy truth is a healthy truth. I like that. All right, it's good. A healthy church is about the truth of the Lord. In the Greek, when you look at the word truth, it is hard, this Greek word here, it's hard to translate into English. Some say the literal translation would be truthers. That the truth is, I am really struggling with flipping these words. The church, they are truthers. They're not just speaking the truth. They live the truth. What does a growing, healthy church look like? It's a bunch of truthers. It's a bunch of people that so believe the word of God and believe that God's truth is so important that it is the way to live, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that we live out a life being truthers. So it says a growing, healthy church is a bunch of truthers. But it says they're not only truthers, they're those, it says, speaking the truth in love. That the gathering of the church that Josh preached on last week, and he spoke on how important it is for us to gather and to be together, it's a place where we come together to learn about the truth, but in love. There's a place that we truly love each other. If you look back a few verses before chapter 4, verse 2, it says that we're called to bear with one another in love, bearing with one another in love. The church is not a place where we just tolerate each other. The church is not a place where we come and go, I got to put up with that guy today. That person doesn't look like me. They don't have the same background as me. They don't have the same checkbook as me. And so what has happened in the church? These things have allowed us to have divisions. So instead of loving each other, how Christ has called us to love one another, we're just trying to tolerate each other. That's not a biblical growing church. It says bearing with one another in love. 1 Peter 4 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. A healthy church is a place full of truthers, loving one another, As you go on reading, it says, connected to the head of the church. And Ephesians 1:22 says, who's the head of the church? It is Christ. It is what everything, it is what all power flows out of. It's what we're to be connected to. So a healthy church is truthers who love, who are plugged into Jesus, all connected to Christ. But it's not done there. Because I think some people get, great, I'm good with the truth. I'm working on loving people. I'm asking the Lord to help me love people better. I'm connected to Jesus. I know by the cross I'm saved. But there's one more thing. It says this, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. In other words, as each part does its own special work. See, when the church is described in the Bible, it's used as the illustration as a body, and it says, hey, we're as a church, we're all part of this body. We all have special gifts that God has given us to be used, that when we as the church together use those gifts, the body will grow. See, it's not just about coming and listening and learning. It's about living it out that God has called you to a special work to use you, that you may help and love somebody else, that we are a body together, working together to honor Jesus. And when that happens, it is something beautiful. It is why I love the church, because when you see this coming together, is it always easy? Have you been a part of the church before? It's filled with a bunch of sinners, like me and you, who sometimes get selfish and inward focused. But we're called to seek Christ, to love each other, to be brave enough to give the truth to each other, to care for one another. This is what the church looks like. Colossians 2:19 says the same kind of thing, talking about holding fast to the head. It says there's those who don't hold fast to the head, who is Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. As a pastor, it is something I pray often for the church, that we will grow with the growth from God. You see, in that healthy, growing church, I didn't come to you and go, how many people you got on Sunday morning? Let's count the numbers. Now, do we want to grow in people? We sure do. Why? Because we want to see more and more people come to know Jesus. But we also need to grow spiritually in the Lord, in what He has us to do, and the life He has us to live. It's the beauty of the church. So I said I'm going to work backwards, so go with me, because how do we get there then? How do we get to a place where we're truthers, loving one another, connected to the Christ, connected to Jesus, using our gifts? And Paul explains it. So all the way back to verse 12, well, verse 11, he says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. So here, and I wish we had more time because we could walk through each of these areas, but leaders, it talks about the church and it comes to shepherds and teachers. And so I'm going to focus on that midweek. You can have a wonderful time walking through apostles and walking through prophets. But here, the Bible, when it gives direction of the church, it says, hey, pastors. Hey, teachers. And in the Greek, it looks like pastor and teacher, those words are linked together almost to put like, hey, this is the same. And so there is a direction of what the pastors are called to do in the church. So as the church is supposed to be healthy and growing, the Lord says, hey, pastors, to do that, here's what you need to do. Here is your job. To do all the ministries of the church. No, that's not what it says. It says, pastors and teachers, verse 12, you're called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You know what a pastor is called to do? To equip you. What do you mean, saints? What does saints mean? Saints are those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible gives direction that pastors, and sometimes we get this messed up, we think, pastors, you're called to ministry. Do ministry. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, pastors, you're called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. This is the calling of the church. It is beautiful. One said it this way. He said, this verse speaks against a professionalized approach to ministry in which the official leader of the church is the one who ministers, while everyone else receives their ministry. Instead, Paul begins here to unfold a view of the church in which all its parts are involved in building the body of Christ. That's why all throughout Scripture it talks about all of us doing the work that we're called to do. Like 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. 1 Peter 4 says it this way, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Pastor is called to equip the saints. Some people will even say, what are we doing on Sunday morning? Pastor, what are you preaching on Sunday morning? I'm preaching to equip the saints. What is the church for? What is the role of the pastor? I'm called to help equip you with the truth of God and who Christ is, and to equip you to do the amazing things, ready, that I can't do, but you can. This is the church. And it's incredible to watch it happen. I love watching it happen. On Friday, we have some of our students are at high school camp, and so my son, I have a 14-year-old. He's a freshman in high school, and so he had a basketball game, and so he wasn't able to catch the bus up to camp, and so I had to go. How do I get my son up to camp? I don't want to drive all the way up to camp. It's like 2.5 hours away. And so I was thinking, how can I get him to camp? And so I asked our student pastor in Waterford, I go, you got anybody driving up late? And he said, hey, why don't you call Justin and see if he'll drive up late? Justin. And so let me tell you the story of Justin. Because you may think it's weird why I would let my son ride with Justin. About 3 years ago, I met Justin. Young man, 26 years old now, right around there. But 3 years ago, I met him for the first time. I met him at a funeral of where one of his friends died of a heroin overdose. And I'll never forget meeting Justin. Him and his wife were there, and he just came up to me and he said, hey, there's going to be at some point I want to come talk to you. I said, okay, you come talk to me whenever you want to talk to me. I'd love to talk. So Justin came and talked to me. Justin, as a young man, had a messed up life. Got into alcohol. He told me how he was producing drugs and he burnt his house down doing that and had to run from the police. Justin came and met with me, and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And the Lord saved him. And over the last 3 years, I've watched this man as he's come to know Christ, like just like in Ephesians 1 through 3, like the true saving power of Jesus. And I've watched. And so Justin and I began to start meeting every other week. He began growing in the things of the Lord. And I began to watch him growing, knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, learning the truth of the Lord, and it's been an amazing journey. But a year and a half ago, he said, okay, Pastor, I'm thinking, what's some next steps? And so he's talked about serving. So Justin has begun serving in our youth ministry. He's now in September, joined our pastor's academy because he feels like there's a calling on his life. So when Pat said, hey, what about Justin driving your boy up to camp? I went, I can't wait. I love for my boy to ride with Justin. Why? Because this is a man who is equipped for the work of the ministry. And I've watched the powerful God, only what God can do, change his life, save his soul, give him hope, give him life, and give him a calling. This is the church. It's where God changes our lives. We don't come here because it's a, you know, we feel better or it's a, you know, it's some good words. No, we come here because we serve an almighty God who loves us and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and rise again, that if we will believe in him, he'll save our life and give us a new life, an eternal life, saved in the cross. This is church. And so maybe you're here and you think, maybe you're new to this. Maybe you just stopped in here. Maybe you're listening online and you're like, I don't know what this church thing. Or maybe there's in your past, there have been people who have positioned themselves like they represent the church, who are liars and hypocrites, and they've hurt you. And so you have this church hurt in the past. We preach the truth of the church because we want you to see what the true church is called to be. People who are saved by Jesus, called to a new life so that we may share Christ with the world, so that they may hear the good news of Jesus and be saved, and that we may join together to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Verse 12 says to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. This is the growing church. So you may ask, okay, how are we equipped then? Like, you, okay, so we're to be equipped. What's that look like? Good question. Glad you asked it. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 13 says this, until we all attain. And this here in the Greek, it's like there is, okay, what does that look like? We need to now be striving for, and it says this, to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood. There's two things it points out here. Equipped saints, what do they look like? They are those who are growing in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God. The unity of the church is so important if we're going to grow. And so maybe think about Pastor last week, Pastor Yates, he spoke on gathering together, so we got unity covered. No, see, unity is a little different than just gathering. I met with a man this week we had a dinner. He's new to the church. I hope this illustration will help explain this, why unity and gathering is a little different. But I knew he's new to the church, has been there a couple times, 30-year-old single guy, and we met, and I always love meeting with new people in the church to help. What question you got? How can we get you connected? And so we had a great dinner, and at the end he said, because I always tell them, ask any question you have. And he said, so I've come to the gatherings. He says, at your location where you're at, once the service is done, not everybody leaves. He says, I watch that, like they get done singing, and you know, he said, some people leave really fast, and I go, yeah, we still have church ninjas, you know, like they like some of you are really good at being church ninjas, right? Like it's like I pray before the sermon, open my eyes, there you are. Like, how did you get there? And then when I pray and dismiss, you're like, what happened? Like, there is just, you're in and out, church ninjas. We're not called to be church ninjas. He said, some people do that, but he goes, I watch, there's so many people. They come and they just, after the gathering, they hang out. They're praying together. They're talking. They're laughing. They're crying. And they stay forever. Like our tech guys have to turn off the lights because people won't go home. It's wonderful. And he asked me the question, how do I break into that? How do I get into that? Now, what was interesting is that he came and we had people of the church who loved him and cared for him. And he goes, man, this one man, Kelly, came right up to me. He talked to me. He connected. And so he's like, people were kind and caring and they were nice. But he's like, how do I break into that? And I thought about that question. And my answer was, that's not just a Sunday thing. Now, you're going to come here and people are going to be nice and caring and kind. But church is more than just being nice and caring and kind. Church is unity. Church is coming together and knowing each other and doing life together. I said, how that has happened, I said, those people have served together in the church. They've done growth communities together in the church. They've sent their kids together and had to, I mean, they've sent their kids to camp and been worried. They've had to pray together for their kids at camp. They know each other. They grow with one another. See, why unity is more than gathering, because unity is way more than a Sunday thing. It's a life thing. And what a growing church looks like, it's when people are unified together in the Lord, doing life together. This is the healthy church. Paul explains it clearly. He says, unity in the faith. What is this unity of? Of the knowledge of the Son of God. What unifies us? Jesus Christ. We are unified in his truth, right? We're not unified. We can be unified in a lot of different things, right? We can be unified as Lions fans. We can be unified that we just hate Ohio State. There's lots of things that can unify us. But the Bible says a growing, healthy church are those who are truly unified in Jesus, in his truth. We love how he calls us to love, because if we don't love how Jesus calls us to love, we're not really loving at all. We're unified in Christ and his truth, because if we don't believe his truth, but we say, oh, I'm good with his name, if we don't believe his truth, we don't follow his name and we don't follow him. So this unity is important. It's something we must strive for. I look at our culture, I look at our nation. Isolation is becoming something that is more and more and more prevalent. Can I tell you, I don't think isolation is something that's just happening. I don't think it's just a trend. I don't think we're people, right, who just like to look at screens more and don't like to talk to people more and just want to stay home more just because it's a trend in our culture. I believe isolation is a spiritual battle. I believe the evil one wants you to be isolated, wants you to not be in unity, wants you to not be face-to-face with people. It is a spiritual battle. Why? Because the church, a growing church, is unified with one another, loving and caring one another, loving and caring for one another. That's why Ephesians 4:3 says the church is to eagerly maintain the unity of the Spirit. That word eagerly means endeavoring. It means being diligent. It means to work at, to fight for. That's what a growing, healthy church looks like. It's unity. And then lastly, it's maturity. If you go on to read the verse, it says, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. One said it this way, the fullness of Christ, this maturity, seems to mean that when the body of Christ becomes mature, in Jesus, then it will fulfill its mandate to manifest the tangible presence of Christ on earth. The great need of the church has always been spiritual maturity. It's growing up in the truth of what God says. It's growing in the knowledge of Christ. It's so that we can look more like Jesus and act more like Him. One of my more favorite passages in the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, Paul prays for the church. In Colossians 1:9, he says, "So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Paul is praying that the church, that we would grow in knowing who God is and what His truth says, to grow in knowing the love of Christ. This maturity, it speaks of growing up. The next verse talks about we need to be mature. It uses the illustration that says we can't be have like a childlike faith. Why? Because the child is easy to trick. Child is easy to manipulate. The child is easy to overpower. The Bible says we have to be mature. I was just studying this week, I read this point, and I thought it was so good. One commentary said, spiritual growth does not always involve learning something new. Our most important growth often is in regard to the truth we already heard but have not fully applied. And I thought for my soul, that is so true. It's not learning about the new thing or the new book or the new trend. Many times, it's just applying. Hey, Jason, apply being gentle, being kind, being patient. You know the truth, but it's the applying. It's putting that truth into practice. That's why at the church, we talk about growth communities all the time. Because we want you to get plugged in, to grow more with each other. I know Pastor Josh, and I meet with Pastor Josh about every month and a half, and he's talking about the rooted class and people growing in the basics of Christianity, and it's so exciting to him. In Waterford, I started a foundations class of people new in the Lord that go, hey, how do we grow in our maturity? We started a couple weeks ago, and I just love it because I sat down at the table, and I said, share a little bit of your story. And this one said, I was just an atheist until the Lord saved me. And the next person said, I didn't have any church background, but the Lord opened my eyes, and now I want to grow in Him. And then the couple next to him said, we were Jehovah's Witness, but now we've been open to the truth of the Scripture. And then a lady there said, I don't know, my 14-year-old daughter has got excited about the Lord, and she's lit her house on fire. I have to learn about what this is. And sitting next to her was a man who's a recovering addict. The church is a place where they can come and grow in the truth of the Lord, to grow in maturity, so they become strong in the Lord. So we're not children in our faith. One man said this that was pretty sharp. He says, just as with many families today that are dominated by their children, so are many churches. We can't be churches dominated by children in the faith. We have to be growing in the Lord in maturity. I love what another person said. He said, every member should grow up and use a towel and not a bib. Start thinking about that. They should not be immature consumers, but eager servants. I wrote down one thing you can sure count on. It'll always be messy. But growing in the Lord from being a child to being mature and strong in the Lord moves us from having a bib to having a towel to having an apron, to being able to serve God. So in Ephesians 4, Paul leads us to what a growing, healthy church looks like. I so want to be a healthy, growing church. Before the gathering, I was talking with one of the deacons in the church, and we just celebrating what the Lord does, right? Talked about how many people got baptized here this year. Talked about people growing. It's just a, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. And there are seasons of hardship, that's for sure. Right? Numbers don't always come. Things are difficult. But as a church, to know what church is, we must continue to strive and growing in him. One author said this, your life is much bigger than a good job, an understanding spouse, and non-delinquent kids. It is bigger than beautiful gardens, nice vacations, and fashionable clothes. In reality, you are a part of something immense, something that began before you were born and will continue after you die. God is rescuing fallen humanity, transporting them into his kingdom, and progressively changing them into his likeness. And he wants you to be a part of it. This is the beauty of the church. May we take it personal to look and go, Lord, how you have saved me and called me. May you continue to grow me, to grow in your truth, to grow in your love, to be more connected to you, Christ. Lord, that I may be an open servant to go, Lord, use me that I may glorify you. That's the beauty of the church. Let's stand together and pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. Lord God, I pray, Lord, may there be a conviction of your truth in our lives, those of us who know you as Savior. Lord, maybe there's someone here who doesn't know you as Savior. May they just know your love, the offer of new life in you. So I sure do thank you, Lord, and praise you. We know you, Lord, that you are the one who grows your church. May we just be obedient servants to you, honoring you and praising you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.